Too many buttons. Forgot the mute button. All right, well, I hope we're here. Anybody hear me? Welcome, Planting Seed. I don't see you. Oh, you got your hand up. We're going to have a Bible study. We've been looking at 2 Timothy and going through pretty much verse by verse and finding out how Paul, at the end of his life, at the end of his writings, said to propagate the gospel, how to pass it on and keep it so that it's available generation after generation. So let's start in for tonight's, this is part 4 actually, 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy received a charge from Paul, and it's encapsulated in 2 Timothy 2:2 that we already studied. And the things that thou hast heard of me, the same commit among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So a charge, that's, I'm telling you, this is what you have to, this is important, this should be your life's goal. That's more or less what a charge is, and it's different than a commitment. The gospel was committed to Paul, and commitment, if I commit something to you to get it done, that means I take my hands off. It's up to you, and if you don't do it, it doesn't get done. Now, God didn't take his hands off. It's the power of God unto salvation, the words of the gospel that he gave to Paul. But this verse that we referred to, 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things thou hast heard of me, that goes back to what Christ revealed to Paul, and those very things which Paul preached to Timothy and to us through his epistles and sermons. And the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Be faithful, who shall be able to teach others also. It says that those faithful men shall be able to teach others also after they have been committed or charged with the things that Paul taught Timothy. What did Paul teach Timothy? Well, that's a large part of what Paul wrote about. And even when he wasn't teaching Timothy, he was teaching others like Timothy. There are several that you can think of and name. So be a faithful man to pass on Paul's charge to faithful men to teach others also. Those faithful men are to teach Paul's charge also, not just the gospel. They are to pass on Paul's doctrine, including Paul's charge, to faithful men to teach others also. So back to the first verse in chapter 4. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. If you look in, I don't have the verse numbers here, but I think it's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Talks about us being dead. We're born dead. We grow up dead. And we're not eternal beings yet. When we're saved, then we get the life. We get eternal life that we didn't have. So then we become the quick. But before that, we're the dead. He shall judge the quick and the dead. The quick, the live ones, the saved ones, are judged at the judgment seat of Christ. The dead are judged at the great white throne. And they're both, I believe, the way I understand it, we're both, all people are judged at the Romans 2:16 judgment. when God decides who's saved, who has believed the gospel, and who hasn't. The ones that have get caught up. We'll be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ as to how we carry out our charge, our work, individually. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13, and three verses here illustrate what we just said. We'll be judged by as to how we carried out our charge, our work, what the Lord has charged us with. Starting in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 3, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. He does. That's a singular. That person. And this is talking about individuals, not a nation. Verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved. Important to see that. Whether you are carrying out that charge or not, you shall be saved if you're a saved person. You're saved doesn't mean you go to hell. Saved means you're avoiding it. You're bypassing it. Someone else took that for you. Jesus Christ on the cross. Or I should say through the cross. Colossians 1:20 uses the term through the cross. And I believe it was the cross where Christ died for our sins, paid for them. They were gone by the time he was taken off the cross, and by the time he died and was buried, they were already paid for. So, again, I charge thee, and this is 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, I charge thee before, starting over, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Believers in Paul's gospel will be judged at his appearing. Believers in Israel's kingdom gospel will be judged at his kingdom, his coming to earth. Disbelievers will be judged at the great white throne judgment in Revelation. Here Paul gets into blunt, practical directions of what he is passing on to Timothy. He says, chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Hang in there, because the truth remains the truth. And you're not going to mess up the truth. You might feel like you mess it up, but you don't. It stands. It's written down in the Bible. It says, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Itching ears. And that's why we say over and over, it doesn't help to go from teacher to teacher to find what you want to hear. Instead, go to the King James Bible and find teachers that go to the King James Bible. Stick with what the Bible says without going beyond what is written. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have, in a figure, transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. 2 Timothy 4, 4. And they shall turn, this is after what it said about teachers having itching ears, they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Who's turning them? The people that are going. They're going to these teachers that don't have regard for the Bible, and they're hearing fables and they're believing fables. They submit to that. What a sad loss. Notice that God gives people their choice. They turn away their ears from the truth, but then there comes a time when they shall be turned unto fables. 2 Timothy 4:5, but watch thou in all things. So that's another command like charge, isn't it? But this is within the charge information. Watch thou in all things. Then he says, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Every believer can find a way to minister the gospel to another person at some time, even if it's leaving a calling card on the table when you eat in a restaurant. Something to help others get pointed to the Bible and to the gospel and to Christ. It may be a little bit beyond your comfort zone, but you know, it's the power of God unto salvation. Do you hear that word power? It's powerful. It doesn't depend on you being powerful. You might make it an opportunity to share the gospel as you are handing, you know, as you go to the cash register to pay and you're handed the receipt. Or if a stranger sees you, you miss, maybe you're trying to get on the elevator and you miss, the doors close right in front of you. Or as you return something that someone was unaware that they had dropped, you can put a word in for believe Christ in the gospel that he died for your sins. It's just one sentence. You can get through it. The more time daily that we spend reading and studying the Word of God, the more easily the right thing to say will come to mind. Contact is opportunity. 2 Timothy 4:5-6, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul was speaking of his impending death. And I can just picture Paul in his prison cell, at his makeshift table, trying to write his final instructions with the guard standing there next to him, waiting for Paul to finish this second epistle to Timothy before he takes him to the executioner. Paul knew that he only had a little while to finish passing on to Timothy all that would benefit him and would benefit us. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. And if you look at it, you can see the parallel wording and sentence construction between 2 Timothy 4:7 and back in Acts 20:24. About Christ sending Paul to preach the gospel of the grace of God in the fellowship of the ministry to all men, mystery to all men, excuse me. That was sending Paul beyond the work of preaching the gospel of Christ to the Jews and the Greeks. And you can see that when he was trying to raise funds to go beyond where he had preached the gospel of Christ. You can see that in 2 Corinthians 10. Starting in verse 13, but we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. That would be in Corinth. He had reached unto them, hadn't he? For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you, for we are come as far as to you, also in the preaching the gospel of Christ. Verse 15, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. He's asking for support money, for funds to go on further. And in verse 16, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. So let's look at Acts 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might, and here's where it gets very parallel to 2 Timothy 4:7, so that I might finish my course with joy. And now here is where Paul adds something new in Acts 20, never before revealed. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That gospel of the grace of God had never been mentioned before Acts 20. Acts 20, and we see it there in verse 24. 2 Timothy 4:7, the verse we're comparing it to, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Compare both verses, phrase by phrase. Acts 20:24, neither count I my life dear unto myself. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. Acts 20:24, so that I might finish my course with joy. And then in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have finished my course. And then Acts 20, third comparison, Acts 20, verse 24, 20:24, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have kept the faith. Acts 20:24 says to testify the gospel of the grace of God, and that's different than to testify about the gospel of the grace of God. To testify something involves showing it, living it in front of people. To testify involves dispensing something. To testify something is the idea of Romans 8:29. And 2 Timothy 2:19 and Philippians 2:12. Let's look at Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Paul said to be conformed. That means by the time we get to heaven, saved people will be strictly holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in the image of his Son. We believers are growing toward that. We're testifying the gospel of the grace of God by our lives, by our growth. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Pardon me. Those many brethren are us believers in Paul's gospel. Excuse me just a minute. Second Timothy 2:19 was the second of those verses that parallel or talk about the same thing. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, growing toward Christ likeness. There it is again. Our lives will show Christ's presence in our lives. And the third verse we mentioned is Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Whose salvation is it? The Bible says it's your own salvation. It's not something you worked for. It doesn't say to work for your salvation. It's already your own salvation. Now, work it out in each situation of daily living. You're to work out your own salvation. You didn't make it your salvation. Christ saved you by dying for your sins and for your sin. So, when you receive Christ's salvation, it becomes your own salvation. A person that's saved is saved from condemnation. You'll never be in the lake of condemnation. Christ has saved you. You're saved. It's your own salvation. Now work it out. Work out your own salvation. Here we see that the believer puts his belief into action in daily living. He puts it on display. Well, let's go on. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only to me, but unto all them that love his appearing. Now, he started that verse with henceforth. That means this being true, or if so be. Excuse me again, please, just a moment there. Paul did not say, henceforth there is laid up for me the righteousness of God. No. All believers in the gospel of the grace of God have already been imputed the very righteousness of God. Here Paul says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. There is a crown involved with that righteousness of God. Crowns have something to do with ruling a domain, don't they? Crowns have to do with dominion. Remember, Adam was given dominion, but he lost it. The dominion is what Satan usurped from Adam. Here, a crown of righteousness speaks of being used in the victory of God over Satan. 2 Timothy 4:8 again, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. And I believe it would be out of context to take love his appearing to mean the catching up. I believe Paul is talking about Christ's appearance to him on the road to Damascus. Love it. His abundance, Christ's abundance of revelations to Paul since then. That's what Paul was talking about here, I think. But preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, not according to prophecy. That mystery is the secret that Christ revealed to Paul for us, including how to be saved today. Due to his current situation, Paul was giving instructions how to continue to propagate the gospel and to continue the growth of the body of Christ on earth. 2 Timothy 4:9, the next verse. Do thy diligence to come shortly to me. Paul hints that his death penalty awaits him. He said, come shortly. In other words, I don't have much time left here on earth. He goes on in verse 10, 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. And that's in opposition to having loved those in this present world. Paul's not saying that Demas loved those in the present, in this present world that need to be saved. Demas loved the world system, the things of the world, worldliness. Demas forsook Paul, having loved this present world. And that's the last that we hear of Demas. The response of Demas stands in contrast to the response of John Mark. John Mark departed, and then he came back, and Paul said he is useful to him. Barnabas discipled John Mark after they split from Paul and Silas. Apparently, that discipling, that training and praying with and working with John Mark paid off, and Mark responded. 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Dalmatia, Crescens to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. If you look at the map of those times, Dalmatia is farther north than it's recorded in Scripture that Paul had physically traveled, preaching the gospel of the grace of God before the close of the Scriptures. It is north of Achaia, which is Greece, north of Macedonia. It's north of Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea, the trio there. Dalmatia is in the area that used to be called Yugoslavia, Bosnia, and southern Croatia. From this, we can see that by the end of his last epistle, fulfilling the word of God, Paul had begun sending fellow workers far hence to the far-off Gentiles. Dalmatia is farther out from where Paul ministered than any other place mentioned by Paul, except for Spain. And there's no indication that Paul ever got to Spain or to Dalmatia. But the word did, by Titus. In 2 Corinthians 10, verses 13 to 16, we read when Paul was raising funds, Paul said he had gone as far as Corinth when he was raising funds to go beyond there. If Paul had been earlier, if the Lord, put it this way, if the Lord had sent Paul earlier to go to all men, then we would have read in Acts about Titus departing to Dalmatia in the Acts period. We wouldn't have to wait till later after Acts, the post-Acts epistles written in prison. But it wasn't until Paul was writing 2 Timothy that Titus was sent to Dalmatia. All right. I'm done.